I believe that we are created in God's image. You are a gift that God has given, especially this morning we're focusing on our community, and you are a gift from God that we are blessed with. And I hope you really, really realize that. You know, as a society, we've kind of drifted off how God isn't that important, and many are becoming more unbelievers along the way, and I think we're really missing a point. Because there is a creator, we are his creation, there is purpose. There is purpose. And I think part of those that serve, whether it's the military, first responders, or public service, there's that part of you that's compelled to do what you do. And I believe God has put that in here, that we are created in the image of God. Genesis tells us, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. We are unique in the capacity that we have, because we're created in God's image. The Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe each one of us in the womb, God knitted together with all the various DNAs and likeness of all your ancestors plugged in to make you what you were and what you are. That you are unique for a purpose and for a cause. And like I said, this morning we're focusing on our hometown heroes. But you are uniquely made to do what you are doing. And that all comes from God. Because you bear the image of God. And hopefully as we go through this morning, I'm saying these things not to boost you up. But in here, really to humble us as, okay, God, how am I supposed to use this thing that you have given me? The Bible says that God has manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. And I think this kind of brings across sort of the bridge I was talking about this morning, that we love, we care for each other, because I believe God has left his fingerprints on all of us. Whether you agree with me or not. Right? Some of you even like pineapple on your pizza. I pray for you. But if I can love you even though you are demented, how much more can you love me? Because I can look at you, I can see a reflection of the Creator that God has left his print on. And think of this idea of hometown heroes. And I was thinking what makes you unique and what makes you special, because there are many who do not serve. We talk about those in our community. It doesn't matter whether it's church, it doesn't matter if it's the Legion. I know we're blessed here with the fire department, but there are many who are struggling to find people who are willing to step up when I could rather be at home and watch 20 hours of Netflix and seeing what's next on the Crown instead of getting up and serving. But you are unique. And God made you maybe a little different. And some of you, God has given gifts and abilities. You know, I look out and see how some of you can serve and the abilities that you bring. They are first responders of who go out and serve and given an ability to take a pulse, to diagnose a sickness. To those who run towards the fire, run towards gunfire. Now, it's interesting. I have family who are in military, and I have a brother who is in law enforcement. And he talks stories of being shot at. I have some simple goals in life. One goal is to leave with as many body parts as I came with. So far, so good. One of those goals is never to be shot at.
And so far, so good. We'll see how long I go this morning, and I'm holding you up on your pie, but so far I haven't been shot at. And for those who say, look, I will run towards the danger, I talk to especially some of the ex-military, and it's funny. So many I know sit in such a way that they can watch the front door because they want to be able to see who's coming in. And that's a unique burden to carry, to watch care for others along the way. Not everyone is geared that way. I remember my brother had came and visited, and we were up at Enfield. I don't know if anyone knows where Enfield, Maine, is. It's just off the beaten path. No one passes through it. You have to go there. And you know, I always left my keys in the vehicle, never locked the doors, never locked the windows. And he came to visit us. He was only around for like 3 days. And came home one night, and after we were out and about, and we came back, and the front door was locked. And at first I was like, it's broken, it's jammed, what's going on? And he goes, I locked the door. I didn't even know it locked. I had no idea if there was a key, right? I mean, we grew up in... And so I said, oh, that's not a problem. I'll just go around and open one of the windows. He goes, well, no, I locked those two. I'm like, what did you do? He goes, I secured the perimeter. And he thinks different. And some of you think different. God designed you and uniquely gave you gifts. 1 Peter reminds us, this is the end of all things is at hand. I won't get into that this morning. But I think we are facing dark days. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all, have a fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. I love that verse, and I think that's really a call we need, right? I put up with you because I love you. Right? My wife does that all the time with me. And we need more of that. Instead of pointing out the problems along the way, love someone a little bit more. Okay, that's not what I'm talking on. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. But as each one has received a gift, to minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each one of you were given a gift, and you're using that. Not only to make the world a better place, but once again, I believe because it reflects that image of God that God has put in you. The Bible says, for everyone whom much is given, to him much will be required. To whom much has been committed, to him they will ask the more. You know, the best way to be successful is to do more. And I believe that. As you step up, more responsibility will come your way. Some of you have done that. You know, Horace stood up here and he's been involved in every aspect of everything. He talked about plowing the roads, you know, back with the horses and no, I'm going to pay for this. I love you, Horace. I appreciate you. You know I do. That's right. He's going to return the mug instantly. But you see, as you are more faithful, more comes your way. Proverbs tells us, a man's gift makes room for him. Each, as you use what God has given you, he gives you more opportunity. And God does not compare you to others. The standard that God will hold you accountable for what you did with what you have is different for each one of us because God hasn't given me the gifts. I tell the church here all the time, I am probably the least talented person in this room. I can eat and I can talk. And that even sometimes is questionable. But the ability that you guys have, that God has given you to serve in the capacity that you have, you are fearfully and wonderfully made for the service God has called you to do. And I thank you for doing what you do. And God's not going to hold you accountable for what you can't. I love that. That's not going to hold me accountable for what I can't do, what he did not equip me to do. God says he knows our frame. He remembers we are but dust. He knows our frame. I love this verse because it reminds me that God made me, and I'm just called to function as God has called me. The other day I gave Mark a ride in my truck, and I have a little Ford Ranger. It's a little truck. And he got in, and he goes, "This is the little truck." And I have not ever been a truck person, and all of a sudden now I have. I love having a truck. I love having my little Ranger. I like my Ranger. It's good size. And now people treat me different. I go get gas, and guys are like, "Oh, you know, I feel bad for you. It's a Ford." I don't even know what that means, right? And one guy, I was filling up, and he came up in this big, I don't know what it was. It was like a four-ton truck. I don't know what it was. He comes up through, and it's jacked up. He's got, yeah, I know. And he comes, like I said, I'm not talented. I don't know nothing. And he comes alongside, and he's like, gets out of his car. He climbs down and goes to pump gas. And he looks over at me, and I ride him with my little Ranger. And he goes, "You know, if you give it premium, it might grow up." But I know my Ranger. I know its frame. I know I can't haul all I need to haul. But boy, I can find a parking space that some of you guys can't. So nana, nana, nu, nu. But each one is made different for each function. And we get ourselves in trouble when we try to do something that we're not supposed to do with what it is. And God knows that. We are created in his image, and in you God has left his imprint on you. He's given you gifts to use and serve for him. And God's not going to hold you accountable for what you cannot do because he did not make you for that. But he will hold you accountable for doing what you can do. So some of you are given gifts. Some of you are given positions. Some of you have served in capacities of leadership over others. I would even say all of you. I mean, all those who stood up front here are people that God has put in a position of authority, if you will. He's put in a position of service that I'm thankful for. So everyone who stood up here, God is putting you up on this pedestal, this notch, because I can't say I did that. Now, you are the heroes. You're the ones the kids can look up to. And when the parade goes by, right, they're waving, not just because you throw candy at them. I'm sure that helps, but that's not why. Because we recognize, whether it's the veterans, the fire trucks, right, of all that's behind it. Something to look forward to, something to look up to. And some of you are given these positions. We talk about the public service. We talk about those who serve in the select board. That you are given those positions, I believe, by God. Romans tells us that in every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. You know, our American pastime is to bash our politicians. And in America, we have that freedom that every 4, 6, 2 years, we have the right to judge those in authority and whether we want them to do it again. But ultimately, each one will give an authority to God for what they did with the authority that was given in them and what they did with it. So I'm looking at all you guys down here. Look at our select people. Right? You're there because God wants you there. And what do you do with that authority that you were given? And some of you were just given a chance. Maybe life happened to you. I talk about some of the military service, and some of them were drafted. They didn't have a choice in the matter. They were thrown into the circumstances. I find it interesting. And this is sort of anecdotal. I don't have any scientific evidence for all of this. But I find oftentimes people who are in positions to help, who are driven to help, sometimes have something in their past that they wish they were helped with. And that void drives them to help someone else. I don't know about you, but when I was born, I didn't have a choice in my parents. I didn't have a choice in what town I was in and my circumstances along the way. Life just kind of happened. I remember when I was young thinking, oh, I'm going to happen to life. Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to take life by the horns and I'm going to happen to life. I'm a little bit older. A little bit. That wasn't that funny. And I'm a little bit older. And I look back at my life. You know what? I didn't have all the control that I thought I did. And oftentimes we're children of circumstance that make us who we are. That if all the events of your life did not happen to you as they did, you would not be who you are today. Book of Esther talks about Israel, and they were in a land, and the Jews were threatened. And Queen Esther was in a position where she could do something. And sometimes that doing something can be a scary thing. Right? Sometimes it takes us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it asks us to do things that are risky. And Esther had to contemplate what she would do. And this is the call that went to her. It says, For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you would come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe God has a purpose and has a plan. And each one of us, God has given abilities and circumstances to do and make. But I don't believe I can thwart God's plan. I don't think I'm that important. And God would just find someone else. So if you're given a position, don't get so arrogant that, oh, wow, they can't do this without me. Because I found out really early when I got my first job, everyone is replaceable. But with that said, will I do what needs to be done? Will I rise up and take that opportunity? And many of you have done that. Right? I don't know the circumstances of your life that caused you to choose what you did. I don't know what unsung events happened in your life to make you what you are today. But I believe God has a plan if you will let Him use you. And we're told to make every opportunity because the days are evil. Just make the most of every day. Each day say, okay, Lord, here am I. Now, it's interesting, the bulletin and the mugs. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You're in a church, by the way. An occupational hazard is I try to share what's in the Bible and what the truth is. And there is freedom in knowing who I am in Christ and who you are in Christ. Like I said, each of our heroes this morning, you are designed, you have the footprints, the fingerprints of God. Oh, maybe you've been bad and you've had a footprint of God, I don't know. But, and what are you doing with all of that? We talk about being in the image of God. And I just want to leave you with this. Because the scripture tells us that though we are made in His image, that image is marred. The Bible talks about this thing called sin. My own self-will, the desires I have. All the cruddy things that's in me. Some of it spills out, some of it I just harbor in my heart, but you know what I'm talking about. That image of God is marred and it's broken because of sin in our lives. And to be completely whole in Him, to find that purpose, that cause of our Creator God who left His imprint on you,
in here, we look at the scriptures. It tells us there's a solution for that. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's not by being good enough. Right? Oftentimes what we do is we turn around and say, hey, I'm a good person. And you probably are a good person. What you want to point to is, look, I'm better than you. Or you're better than me. Or better than the person down the road. But compared to the image of God that is in you, a perfect God who is holy and just, we are all marred. It's not by righteousness that we can do. But according to his mercy, he saves us. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he pours out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We talk about the mercy of God. It doesn't matter what you've done. He says, come home. That's a wonderful thing. I don't know, I was watching the news, which I probably do too much of today. And there was a psychologist saying that if you get together with, you're planning to get together with relatives this Thanksgiving, and they're of a different party than you, that you shouldn't go. You should ostracize your family and write them off because you don't agree with them politically. I'm thankful for seeing some head shaking. No, that is awful. That is awful. Because God has shown us mercy. God loves you even if you put pineapple on your pizza. And in us, it's not because we're good enough that he loves you. He loves you because he chooses to love you. And in that, we've been justified by his grace. That we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I appreciate your patience this morning. I just want to wrap up with this. Because we see how God works in us. And God wants to bring us back in that relationship with us. That's what the church is about. If you go to church somewhere else, God bless you and where you go. If you're not going to church anywhere, I can recommend a church. The pastor's a little odd, but the people are great. Because Jesus died. We're going into Christmas where Jesus came into this world. And he came not for the wise men, not for the gifts. He came to save sinners, of which we are. We celebrate Easter because he died, was buried, and rose again for you and for me. To take that broken, marred image of God within us and restore us into his likeness. Actually, so much better than even the likeness. And I want to encourage you this morning as you leave here, because you can be more than just the image of God. Actually, we're told in 1 John chapter 1, but as many as receive him, if you ask Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins, he will do that. And as many as receive him, to him he gave the right to become what? The children of God. To those who believe in his name. That we can go from just being his image to being his children. And he's a good dad. And we do all these things for his honor, for his glory. And if you've never made that decision this morning, it's just as simple as, Lord, here I am. I believe you died on the cross for me. And Lord, I turn from those things and want to live for you. And he takes that broken image that's in you, as wonderful as it is, and restores it. And he calls you his child. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the patience of those folks this morning. I know we crammed a lot in this morning. And Lord, as we sing this last song and head over next door for lunch, Lord, I pray you just bless the food, the conversation over it. Lord, I thank you for the generosity of those who provided it for us. And Lord, one last time I want to thank you all for all the heroes who are here this morning, who give and serve of their time and energy. Lord, you left their print, your print on each one of their lives. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, I pray we leave here in a new relationship with you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Actually, please stand and sing. This is the last.